I wonder how you were taught to read and write and speak when you were at school. I was, I suppose, having my primary education largely in the early 70s, when I'm told there was a trend away from the rigors of learning grammatical rules, sentence construction, syntax, parsing verbs, all that kind of thing, in favor of more creative expression. You know, people were encouraged to go with their thoughts, to be imaginative, and it was felt that the rules would kind of follow. And I've always blamed that for the fact that I still struggle with punctuation today. Don't ask me what a semicolon or a colon are really meant to do. I just don't know. But of course, trends go backwards and forwards. I work to some extent in I'm chair of our multi-academy trust, and so I take quite an interest in some of the pedagogical techniques, as we call them, the scaffolding of learning, as the experts like to talk about them. And it's clearly very, very important, and the way you teach makes a big difference to the way that children learn. It matters very much that we get this right. And it struck me that there is something of a parallel here in, well, partly the window that our reading this morning opens for us. But I think we have to think about our reading this morning comes towards the end of the great corpus of Jesus' teaching in Matthew's Gospel called the Sermon on the Mount, which is a putting together of many, many of Jesus' most significant teachings. And as a sort of corpus of the teaching of wisdom, it seems to me it's unparalleled. It is a bringing together of such a rich understanding of human psychology, of the human heart, of how human beings operate, and how human beings might grow to be fully alive, fully full of virtue, full of all that makes for life and peace and love. And here in Matthew 7, Jesus seems to be focusing on the fruits, as it were, the outworkings of what's in the heart. He seems to be focusing our minds on the fruits of our lives. And this is a theme that Paul obviously picks up in some of his epistles. Do you show forth good fruits, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, self-control? These things which show what is in your heart. But of course, in another place, earlier on in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5, Jesus points inwards into the heart, and he says, "Look, it's in the heart that evil things arise. And if you're lustful or angry, then you might as well commit adultery or murder." Because what's in your heart is what matters more than anything. And I think we have to hold both of these things together to live lives, if we want to grow in grace, in goodness, in humanity. We have to hold both of these. It does matter what is in our hearts. Because as Jesus says here in our gospel, what's in our hearts flows out into our lives. We cannot help but act according to what's in our hearts. It does matter what's in our hearts, and we should work at our hearts throughout our lives. As I get older, I discover that bad things in the heart are not a feature of necessarily of youth. Different things emerge that can cause us discomfort, and we can feel this isn't a very good thought. This isn't a very and we should, of course, we know that we will think bad things. To some extent, we can't help that. But we can bring ourselves, bring our hearts openly to God in prayer. We can be open with God, at least, about what's really in our hearts, and pray for God's healing and guidance. Pray that we may grow. We can, and some people find it helpful to bring their hearts to others. Perhaps a spiritual guide, perhaps a confessor, perhaps a counsellor. And we can attend to our hearts. We can work on our hearts. Not, I think, in a fastidious, kind of guilty kind of way, but just openly and honestly. This is what we are. We pray to be better. We pray to grow in our hearts. But here we are. This is me, Lord, and I think we're much less dangerous when we're open with God and open with ourselves about what's in our hearts, rather than pretending, oh, that we're terribly good and terribly virtuous. I think Jesus is saying, attend to your hearts. But we also have to focus on what we do. And we have to focus on the fruits of our hearts. And actually, very often, I suppose it's rather old-fashioned, but I believe that we are, to some extent, formed by what we do. If we act in love and kindness and generosity, even when we don't feel it, I do believe it changes our hearts. I do believe that it starts to form us. And I do believe that the two things go hand in hand together. So I think here we have Jesus, the astonishing master of human psychology, the profoundest understanding of the way human beings function and work, and how we can grow and how we can be healthy. And Jesus is challenging us, I think, in different parts of this great teaching sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, to attend both to what's inside, but also to what we do, to be honest about both, to pray for growth and wisdom and life and healing in both, and in those ways we will bring forth the fruits of the Spirit in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and self-control. And it is for that we must pray.